This is the Texas Standard. I'm David Brown. Much has been said of Texas's top rank when it comes to the administration of the death penalty. Notwithstanding the state's record, it still reserves the ultimate punishment for what most of us would agree are the worst of the worst crimes. One man set to die this month in Texas killed a correctional officer while he was behind bars for murder. Another was the trigger man in a murder for hire. But the third actually didn't personally kill anyone. He pulled no trigger, had not even planned to commit a crime that morning, but he's nonetheless scheduled to die in a few weeks. Jordan Smith has been looking into this story. She's a reporter for The Intercept. Jordan, good to see you again.
Good to see you too.
Tell us a little bit about Jeff Wood. He did not set out on that day back in 1996, as I read from your report, to rob a gas station.
Exactly. So Jeff Wood was with a guy named Danny Renault, who was sort of an acquaintance. And they had a good friend named Chris that worked at this Texaco station in Kerrville. And there was actually a plot to rob this Texaco
earlier,
on January 1st, because the idea was there would be a lot of cash receipts from the holiday bank closures. But the employees who were in on it backed out, and so did Wood. And so the next day, when they go to the gas station, he had no idea in mind that anything was going to happen. Mm-hmm. Indeed, they went to this gas station quite often, so it was nothing out of the ordinary to be going there that would have set off any alarm bells. So they get to the gas station. Danny Renault goes inside. Wood does not realize he has a gun. He hears a shot, and he runs in the store, and his friend Chris is dead. And then Danny Renault sort of threatens him and says that he'll hurt his daughter unless he helps Danny to steal the safe and a video surveillance tape that caught the murder.
Most of us have heard about these, generally speaking, laws of accomplice liability. If you are a conspirator in a crime, you can be held accountable the same way as the person who actually committed the crime. In this case, I guess there are lots of questions about whether or not indeed Wood was an active conspirator.
Well, exactly. Now, I mean, obviously, if the thing had happened maybe on January 1st, then you could say he was a conspirator. But then so again would be the employees at the Texaco.
Because they were in on that.
Right, exactly, on the original plot. But in this case, there's absolutely no indication that Wood had any intention of robbing that store or of murdering his friend.
But that's the thing about the accomplice liability. A lot of times intent doesn't really matter.
Well, in the vast majority of states that have death penalty cases, when it gets to that capital punishment level, mm-hmm. the Supreme Court has been clear that you have to have some intent to kill, because robbery is not punishable by death. That's just the case.
The Supreme Court has said as much.
Right, exactly. It's just that Texas is this sort of outlier where intent is literally written into the law that it's not required. And Texas has already executed 5 people who were non-trigger men in an accomplice case. It seems to me, though, that Jeff Wood's case is particularly troublesome because he's literally on death row for robbery, because he did aid Danny Renault in stealing the safe and the videotape.
But Texas has something else, and I don't know whether you came across this, and it's a felony murder rule. In fact, I think the majority of the U.S. states have. And it's almost like strict liability, in a sense. What it does is it says if you try to commit an act where one could reasonably expect there would be loss of life, then you are going to be guilty of murder if, in fact, it does result in a loss of life. What you're suggesting to me is that something changes when it comes to that sentencing phase.
Obviously, we have to have a way in the system to hold accomplices liable for actions of their accomplices, the people they're acting with.
You think about hitmen and that sort of thing.
Right. And actually, like a contract killing, that sort of stuff is actually written into the law that's specific. And what they're talking about here in terms of conspiracy, and that's what the law of parties says, these conspirators. Mm-hmm. And regardless of intent, all conspirators can be held liable for one crime when they intended another. The problem, in part, is that there's a lot of disagreement about what conspiracy means under the law of parties, and that it has been too broadly applied to catch people in a net that could sentence them to death. Now, the problem in his case is that for unclear reasons, the question of whether this punishment runs afoul of the Eighth Amendment's ban on cruel and unusual punishments has never been asked in any of his appeals. And we're getting pretty close to his execution date.
What is the execution date?
His execution date is August the 24th. It's disturbing. I mean, you could be sentenced to a relatively light term for taking someone else's life, and yet you have a man here who is on death row for sort of robbery after the fact.
The story's written by Jordan Smith, and you'll find it at TheIntercept.com. Jordan, thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks so much for having me.